welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful to be with you on this last day, 29th day of February 2020, and we're going to look at what does it mean to be authentic. That's an interesting word. I use it all the time, and you'll see why in a moment. I want to thank you for listening, tuning in. I want to thank my sponsors for making all this possible, and I want to thank those of you who write in and offer your questions. You can reach me at greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire, aspire.org. Anytime you like. All questions are considered important by me, and I hope that you will write me. I get a lot of very interesting responses from people each and every week. I'm kind of amused and amazed at it all, that there is interest. And I want to thank you. I also want to thank those of you who have become sponsors. You make all this possible. It is only through your tax-deductible gift that I'm able to pay for radio, pay for hospice, do all the things I do to make love possible. And I want to thank all of you who understand the nature of this work and what I do to serve humankind. And it is only through your tax-deductible gift that this happens. And I hope you will become a sponsor and help us, those of you who are listening, who may not understand that everything that I do, from my hospice work, which is volunteer, to all of the TV and radio and all the other things I do with the BATMO Project for Kids, is all done because of your contributions. It is only your gifts that make any of this and all of this possible. So I hope that you will help us. Authentic. What does the word mean? Let's look at it. Of undisputed origin. Genuine. That's how it's defined in the dictionary. Based on facts, accurate or reliable. Well, I like the first one, genuine. Undisputed origin. That to me is very important. Most people are not genuine. They are not authentic. They come from a point of view of society, of, well, you know, being able to be at least decent enough for people to be with them, as it were. There's all sorts of questions that come up with this word authentic. Well, how do I be authentic and not let everybody know how I really feel? That kind of thing. So I thought it would be fun to do some questions on the authentic and maybe clear the air a little bit. First question comes from Linda in Los Angeles. She writes us a great deal. Greg, I hear you speak of this word authentic. What exactly do you mean by it? Linda. Then she asks for me to give an example about what an authentic whatever would look like, being authentic. I use the word authentic because it's an origin that lives within us. It's a point of origin that lives within each and every person, that comes from the state of the cosmic love that we are all a part of, that we are all made of, that we are all one in. This cosmic, authentic part of us is often ignored for the sake of identity. People want an identity of who they are. They want a distinct identity, some identity that separates them from other people, unites them with people that they think are worthy of them or maybe better than them. Everybody has these insecurities that reign supreme and predominant in a human being. And because of all of this need for inner emotional security, to overcome our insecurity, we become very inauthentic. And the whole effort of a spiritual practice is to come to a place, an undisputed origin, something genuine within, where we are being, shall we say, real, absolutely real. Now, anything that comes out of Greg Penn's personality is not going to be real. Anything that comes out of his ego is not going to be real. Anything that he thinks, says, or does out of his ego will not be real. So I have to ask myself, when am I being authentic? Now, when we meditate, when we delve deep into the process of silence and tone, all of a sudden, something begins to emerge, Linda. This thing that emerges is inexplicable. It is not something that a person can define. The definition of this is just useless. It takes on many forms and many characters and many beauties, I think, inside of a person. And I see it bubbling up within people constantly, but they don't seem to acknowledge it. They don't seem to recognize it because their persona, their ego, overshadows everything. So it becomes very difficult for the average person to be authentic. When one is meditating, and I've learned this, I can tell when my students are working on themselves and when they're not. It's really very easy. When they're not working on themselves, they're not authentic. They're not from a genuine state, an undisputed origin of loving kindness. They'll go into their logic and their reasoning, and we'll all of us at one time or another will go into our fears. And as we do all of this, we start to set into motion karma, and we set into motion difficulties that we are going to face. And all of a sudden, from out of everywhere and nowhere, we lose ourselves to our biology and our genetics. And everything that we think, say, and do will become a point of ancestry where I'm only working out of my ancestry. I'm only working and thinking and living and talking and breathing out of my body, my genetic disposition. So when I do all of that, when I do any of that, I put myself in a very precarious position of never really being able to see the meaning, the authentic, the substance of my life. Now, you can go all over the world looking for all sorts of interesting things that you think are fascinating, from, you know, relics of the past to, you know, looking at art. You can do all sorts of things in traveling that would denote the idea of other people's authenticity, but never finding your own. So it does no good just to look at what another person has done. It is beautiful, and if you can appreciate it, it is lovely. But most people are jealous of it, or it makes them feel bad that they didn't do very much with their life. And so they travel, they see all these things, they hear all these things, and for what? There is no authenticity in their own life, so they don't really see the meaning and the significance of their life at all. They just see what other people have done with their significance. Now, if it spurs you on to be significant, that's wonderful. But for the most part, people don't do that. They're not spurred on by the authentic in any way, shape, or form, and they miss. They don't understand. You are the authentic, and it is our, so to speak, opportunity in this lifetime to do something way, way out of the box, to be kind, to be loving, to be artful, to be playful, to have a sense of humor, sometimes to even be, you know, quasi-sarcastic about different things. Showing the dimension of the quality of something or someone. There's all sorts of beautiful ways to do all of this, but most of us don't. So when I speak of the authentic, Linda, and you ask me exactly what it is the inexplicable within you. It is the real within you. And the real and the inexplicable is the art of love in everything you and I do. It is the art of love. And love is an art. You see it in many different things. You see it in many different ways. And if your life is not the art of love, then you and I have missed. We've missed the understanding of it all. We've missed the beauty of it all. We've missed goodness. So there you are. For me, the authentic is to come from the place, the origins of a great love. And when I use that word authentic, I mean coming from the origin of a great love, a point of origin where love reigns supreme. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's a great question. Next one comes from Thomas. He does not tell me where he lives. How do any of us know if we are authentic, if you're authentic, Thomas? Thomas, when you become authentic, you will see my authenticity. One of the things that I have seen in my day, in my spiritual practice, my own personal one, is when I have become authentic, I can see everybody else's authenticity. It just reigns supreme in people. I see it all over the place. I see it as covered up, eclipsed by desire, ambition, pride, fear, vanity. I see it everywhere. And I see the ego, what it does. Then I see people with these wonderful little moments where they come from behind the moon, as it were. And I see how beautiful they truly are. And they recognize it too, their authenticity, Thomas. In meditation, I'll have a student who will, it's like they're coming up for air, you know, from swimming. They've been underwater swimming in the human, drudging along the bottom of the old pool. And then they come up and they grasp that breath of air. They breathe it in. And it's a metaphor, of course, but there it is. And they smile, they laugh, tears will flow. It's a beautiful healing for all of them. And this beautiful healing, this beautiful light, this beautiful love in them just flows. They don't fight it, they don't resent it. But one thing it does do, and Thomas, you have to understand this, this authenticity gets in the way of their life, how they like to live their life. Some people like to live their life out of pride, out of vanity, out of ignorance, out of knowledge, out of fear. People love to live out of fear, out of hatred and self-righteousness. Some people have to live in the whole perpetuating motion of self-preservation. Everybody has a different way of dealing with their human. And if you really look at it, Thomas, you will see that we live from the biology of our body. We don't live from the spirit of love. We just live as a biological process, never really realizing how beautiful we are, how magnificent our life is. We just don't see it, and we don't care to see it, because our life to us is, for the most part, eat, drink, and be merry. People don't have a deep inner purpose for their life. They just don't. The purpose they think is logic and reasoning. So millennials will say to you things like this, because they've said it to me, so this is not hearsay. The earth is going to crumble, and I'll never own a house. I'll never make enough money. I'll be paying back my school loan for the rest of my life. I don't see any reason to try. They don't see the authentic in them. They've already said what they're going to do and what they can experience, that everything that would make it their life, I guess, meaningful in a human way, has been taken away from them. All the good things have been taken, as Eric Burton said, in the animals. So you got to look at it and think to yourself, is this where my life ends? Is this where I end? Is this the end of my life? For the most part, yes. So this is the way a person thinks. The ego has taken over. The logic has taken over. And now they just get to do what? As one millennial said, well, we like to just go and get wasted. And I have all sorts of ideas about that, and I'm not going to get into that right now, but that's the way many people think. Why try? It isn't about trying. If I die, I want to die authentic. If the earth is going to crumble and all of that other stuff, I want to die being authentic, being authentically in love. And that's the point of it all. The point isn't just to have the life I want to have in my physicality, in my body. The point is, how am I going to die? Am I going to die loving and living? Or am I going to just give up the ghost and live a very selfish life where I just eat, drink, and be merry and let the pieces fall where they may, karmically speaking, and have no sense of even making an effort to make a small change in myself. Maybe to share that intimacy, that love with someone else before we leave our bodies, before we, as the millennials feel, blow up the planet. And we may well do that. That may be what happens. I'm not going to say no. But that isn't the point of it all. The point is not my longevity. The point is the quality of my life based in the state of love. Can I die in love? Now, for most people, that doesn't make a bit of sense, nor does it change anything for them. And that's why the world is the way the world is, because nothing ever makes a difference. If I gave you millions of dollars, if I had it in my power to give you millions and millions of dollars, would that change anything? For a lot of people, it would. This is the way they think. This would make a huge difference. But I say to you, what would make the greatest difference is not money, but love. To make and allow for love to be possible in our life. To make love possible in every way, shape, and form. So, how do you know if any of us are authentic or if I am? You won't know until you become authentic. That's the issue. You have to come to a point where you just can't stand being the way you are right now, Thomas. Maybe you're not sick of your own sickness, as Lhasa said. And if you're not, you're never going to find authenticity. And if you don't find it, you won't recognize it in me or anyone else that has become authentic. I really don't think, this is a test. It is only a process. And if you are interested in love as a spiritual quality and not an emotional deprivation, or which is the way I look at it, or an emotional thing, then maybe something can happen. Love has nothing to do with emotionality. Love has to do with achieving a state of being, the goodness that lives within you, this state, this vibration of kindness that lives within you. The state of love is oneness with all. And when you realize that through meditation, sweet man, that is when the awakening happens. The basic premise, and I've said it on Aspire many, many times, you have to want love more than wanting what you think is love. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question from Lynn. She does not tell me where she lives. What is it like to be your student? A student of the authentic. It looks scary to me, Lynn. I don't know. I think it's pretty hard. You know, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not an easy person in the sense of trying to help you. I'm very devoted to you, and I'm as difficult as you are resistant. I believe in your goodness. I know there's love in you. I can recognize it. I see it in you. I try to call it forth, but there are many disciplines. And if you want to awaken spiritually, you know, most people want to do it through the human being, and that isn't going to happen. That can't happen. So if it's hard for you to hear that, if it's hard for you to understand that, if it's hard for you to leave the human behind and work upon transcending it with love, with consciousness, with meditation, then I guess I can be very difficult. At least that's what I'm told. A lot of people come and try, but they don't really put much effort into it. They're afraid of self-examination. I was thinking of some people recently, you know, that have come and gone, and they're very popular among their friends and everything, but when it comes to their own spiritual awakening, it's very difficult for them. I mean, we're talking they couldn't do it because they would have to give up the way they live their life in order to awaken. And when you keep being told by your teacher, no, that's not it, no, that's not it, no, that's not it, which, you know, I try to help them with, and show them futility of the human being and the chemicals and the biology of it all, and that it, you know, that is belongs to the earth, but you belong to the universe. You belong in the oneness of it all, the beauty of it all. Then people struggle with that because they haven't had enough egotistical gratification in their life to see that it's all futile. So they need a lot of that, and I can't control that. I can't make that go away. A spiritual practice, Lynn, does not make bad things go away and bring good things into your life. And that's where people shrug their shoulders and say, well, then why do it if it doesn't, you know, improve your life that way? Because that's not the point of it all. I mean, if you look at Jesus, he suffered grievously. Buddha suffered grievously. I don't know what Lao Tzu did. I have had spiritual masters that struggled in the world, struggled with their health, struggled with their students. It's a natural phenomenon. In this world, nothing is easy. And if you're looking for easy, quick, fast, whatever, it isn't going to happen. It just isn't going to happen. So you've got to ask yourself, how sincere are you? What is it like for you as a student to me? Not how am I with you, but how are you going to be with me? That is the real question. And if you're going to be difficult, then it will be difficult. If you're going to be willing, let love live you. Let me help you with everything I can help you with, and I can do a lot of things with a willing person, then wow, there could be no end to it all. And then you could send that out into the world and do something magnificent with other people and help the world, really help the world instead of condemn it. I'm out of here. Lynn, thank you for your beautiful question. Have a beautiful day. And I want to thank all of you for listening. I hope you have a beautiful day. Please forgive me for all of this. And namaste to you.